This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Colby Sharples-Terry, Communications Manager, Kansas Tourism. Welcome to Issues 2023, Colby.
Thank you for having me.
Did I get the title right on your communications manager?
Yes, I am.
All right. And I want to check you some basic information. Is Kansas Tourism a state-funded operation?
Yes, sort of. We are a state agency. We don't receive any tax dollars. We're funded through Lottery, which is EDIF, which is the Economic Development Initiative Fund.
Okay, so right, and the lottery hasn't been around forever, so you're a relatively young organization. They're funded by I think I knew that you were funded by the lottery, but I had forgotten. Thank you for reminding me. Now, where's your headquarters? Are you headquartered in Topeka then?
Yes, I am headquartered in Topeka. Most of the state tourism staff is, but we do have some staff at our travel information centers, which one in Goodland and one in Belle Plaine.
Oh, okay. Do you have a mission statement for Kansas Tourism?
Absolutely, we do. It's to inspire travel to and throughout Kansas. Tourism is an economic driver, and that, you know, that impacts, you know, our state. It impacts our local communities. So our job is to inspire people, not only outside visitors, but also Kansans to you know, travel their home state.
I know you've heard this before. I have anyway. No mountains, no beaches. What does Kansas have to attract visitors? How do you answer that? I know you've heard it. How do you answer that?
I know. So many people, when they think of vacations, they think they, you know, it's all about beaches and mountains, and that's fun. Those vacations are great. But in Kansas, we attract so many visitors, and it kind of depends on what you're interested in, but definitely our outdoor opportunities. You know, we have wonderful state parks. We have the Badland areas with the rock formations. You know, we have the Wild West attractions. We just have, you know, like the Flint Hills. It's the only ecosystem of its kind, you know, left in the U.S., and most of it's in Kansas. And there really is so much to see and do. And we do a lot of regional promotion. So a lot of times we're like, explore Northwest, explore Southwest, South Central. And that's kind of how we market to visitors.
Yeah, I've seen your magazine. I've got a copy. I think I picked it up on the Turnpike the other day. And it shows all the different areas. That's a good magazine. It kind of shows all the areas where the fun things to do. Go ahead.
I was just saying, our travel guide. And it's a free publication. You can order it on our website, travelks.com. But it definitely, it shows all the cool places to eat, stay, and visit. It's a beautiful magazine.
How many people actually visit attractions as tourists in a good year in Kansas?
So we don't have like specific attraction data, but we do an economic impact report every year. And so for the latest data we have would have been for 2021, and there was 33.7 million visitors to Kansas.
It's a
big industry. And so that comprises, you know, that's business travel, that's sports travel, you know, but that's also leisure travelers.
Okay. But can you put a dollar on that as economic development, a dollar of total?
Yeah. So if you're talking about like direct visitor spending, it's $7
billion. Okay. $7 billion with a B?
Ooh. Yep. $7 billion with a B.
that's kind of impressive, I'll tell you.
It is.
Well, did the COVID pandemic have an impact on those numbers?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When you look at the, you know, total visitors to Kansas, you know, during the pandemic, it decreased. But what we found, and, you know, I guess it's one of those positive things, I guess, from a pandemic is our state park visitation was record breaking. And we just kind of, because of the pandemic, we kind of became more recognized as an outdoor destination. You know, people knew that they could come to Kansas and have their space and not worried about overcrowding and over tourism, and that they could safely travel here and, you know, almost have some places to themselves and not have to worry about running into a bunch of people. So there was a silver lining during that, during the pandemic.
Wow, that's interesting. And there were businesses that thrived, people, restaurants with drive-up windows, for instance, but people wanting to get outdoors then and away from other people. Yeah, that's good. Makes sense to me. Now, where do our visitors come from? Good many of them are in-state, but they come from other places too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we consider ourselves a drive-through state, so it's easy to drive here. It's a road trip state. And so, of course, a lot of our visitation are just from the surrounding states, you know, Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado. But we see visitors from, you know, all over the U.S., international visitors as well. But we're a drive market, so a lot of Midwest visitors.
And what do they say about visiting Kansas? I know you've probably surveyed them and asked them questions.
Yeah. You know, for those that don't get off the interstate, you know, that just stay on I-70, you know, we see that it's flat, it's boring type comments. But we're like, yeah, that's because you got to get off the interstate. And you got to get into these communities and see these attractions. But the ones that do, it's a lot of, you know, surprise. They didn't know that Kansas, you know, had these terrains, or that Kansas has, you know, some of the prettiest sunsets in, you know, the world. It's a lot of just surprise, like they didn't know. And then, of course, a lot about our Midwest hospitality, just how, like, genuinely nice people are here.
You know, one of the features we have here, and Minnesota, I guess, is known for the land of 1,000 lakes or something like that. But we have some pretty good sized lakes and reservoirs. I bet you a lot of people come to go fishing.
Yes, our state parks are wonderful. They have a great reputation. And like I said, you know, after the pandemic, they're booked up, you know, especially holiday weekends. It's just awesome to see them thriving and seeing that people are finding the beauty in Kansas.
You know, another thing I just thought of, and that is that anytime I've visited any place as an attraction here in Kansas, it's been clean and well-kept. And that's an ongoing challenge, but yeah, people, we take care of our attractions, I think. What do you say to that?
Yes, there's definitely pride in taking care of our attractions. And, you know, there's so many places like our historical museums and stuff where they're volunteer ran. So they're passion projects to begin with. You have these people in the community that support and love this attraction and want to see it thrive. And so, yeah, I mean, there's great pride in, you know, keeping it clean, but also just the hospitality and the welcoming and wanting people to know their story.
You know, this program I do weekly, and I do a lot of, you know, community involvement and whatnot and organizations. And the big V word comes up all the time, volunteers. And we here in Wichita, we do a lot of volunteer work, a lot of good volunteers. And so that's also true around the state and in so many of these attractions then, right?
It is. And, you know, I think there's the importance that making sure these younger generations are getting involved, like, you know, them seeing the importance of this attraction and telling the story and having this live on in their community. Because, you know, let's face it, you know, a lot of the volunteers are getting older and, you know, we need to get the younger generation interested in them seeing the impact that this has.
Absolutely. Hey, what do you think are the top two or three tourist attractions in Kansas, if you can name? I know you're statewide, you don't want to be prejudiced, but are there the top two or three?
You know, we don't have data to support it, but, when we talk to visitors, you know, we hear lots of, you know, we came in for the Eisenhower Presidential Library and Museum,
yeah.
Or, you know, we came in to, you know, do Boot Hill and do the Wild Wild West. or, you know, we do have some bigger attractions, you know, Hutch with Stratica being the only open salt mine in North America for visitors, and of course Cosmosphere. We have those giant attractions like that that do just attract so many visitors.
Of course, we're not treated very well in the movies, like a National Lampoon Vacation. They visit Dodge City, but it wasn't even close. But that brings up an interesting point. Do you pay much attention to how Kansas is treated in media, in like movies and television?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're constantly trying to change perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been, you know, people that are just great ambassadors for Kansas. And then, you know, recently the New York mayor has, New York City mayor has taken a couple jabs at Kansas. And, you know, we've clapped back and, you know, helped change people's perceptions on it. Yeah. And it can be, you know, especially because there are parts where, yes, you're driving through. It's the quickest route through Kansas. You know, it is flat. You're driving through the prairie. And as a visitor, you're like, they don't see anything. And that's because we didn't build, you know, our cities right there on the interstate. There's these wonderful communities without. You know, when I drive it, I see food. I see farmers' hard work. I see food that's feeding my mouth and theirs that are saying bad things about us.
Yes.
But, you know, it's also people understanding that, you know, we're not going to have tourist attractions along the entire interstate. You know, everywhere you're driving, you're going to be seeing something. There's beauty in the prairie. I think some people don't see it, but I think a lot of people do.
We always have the mayor come to Kansas and say, oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and see this attraction. Then we're going to go out and watch a Kansas sunset. And we're not going to drive 75 miles an hour in wall-to-wall traffic. And we're not going to get mugged. And it's going to be an enjoyable, relaxing time. See what the mayor would say to that.
We invited him to come. He just did not accept the offer.
Well,
that's
shame,
okay.
Shame on him. There are a number of byways in the state, including Flint Hills, Land and Sky, Prairie Trail, Route 66. What exactly are byways, Colby?
Yeah, so we have 12 byways in Kansas. There's 9 scenic and 3 historic. And so our byways program is to promote kind of these, you know, not major roadways and that have, you know, either beauty or historical significance that have these great communities along it where you can stop and see and learn, you know, like the Flint Hills National Scenic Byway obviously is known for its beauty. And the main attraction is you're in the Flint Hills. It's the only ecosystem of its kind left, how precious it is, how beautiful it is, you know, or our Wetlands and Wildlife National Scenic Byway that, you know, takes you through the inland marshes through Kansas, which, you know, it's the largest inland marsh in the U.S.
Hmm.
So people don't think of Kansas and think that we'd have this giant marsh and, you know, that type of ecosystem. It's a top destination for birders. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's cool. And so it's kind of promoting those back roads
right.
of Kansas.
Okay. Now, you're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Colby Sharples-Terry, Communications Manager, Kansas Tourism. Colby, tell us about the historic forts in the state. There are, what, 2 or 3 or maybe even 4?
Yeah, so how we kind of market the historic forts and trails, we kind of combine them together. Most of it's the story, you know, of our nation's westward expansion. And so just on our website through historic trails and forts, there's 74 listings. And so you got places like Fort Larned National Historic Site, obviously Fort Leavenworth, which is still active.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Fort Riley, which is still active. But yeah, there's great historical sites across Kansas that you can go to. Or like I said, you can do the trails and you can see like the historic ruts that are still in the ground from, you know, the Santa Fe Trail. They're cool. They're neat.
Well, I'm a history buff and my mom is from the area around Larned, and I've been to that fort a few times. Of course, at one time, a fairly famous soldier by the name of Custer was stationed there with the 7th Cavalry. So we have great history, no doubt about it.
We do.
How many amusement parks and water parks do we have in Kansas, Colby?
Yeah, so For our water parks, I mean, we also include, you know, like the city pools and stuff, you know, as long as they have slides. And, you know, on our website, we have over 40 listed places that you can go and have water activities with the slides and all the fun, you know, splash pads that they have nowadays. And, you know, definitely attractions, you know, obviously based for summer, but, you know, help keep people and communities longer, especially if they're traveling with kids.
You know, and when I think about an amusement park, the only one I can think of is Worlds of Fun. We had one for years down here in Wichita, you know, the old Joyland, but it's closed down. That was an old style amusement park. I would imagine there are not too many of those left anywhere in the world.
There's not. You know, we have a few of like the carousels around, like in Leavenworth, they have the C.W. Parker Carousel Museum, which, you know, is kind of, you know, it's not amusement rides, but it's kind of like a year round kind of carnival-y type feel that you could do.
Now, where are the best venues for outdoor people? I'm talking about the hikers and the bikers and the boaters.
I'd like to tell you everywhere. I mean, seriously.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pick your terrain. You know, people love hiking in southeast Kansas doing the Elk City Trail because they're, you know, walking through almost like cave-like features. Western Kansas, people are loving the Badlands, being able to, you know, hike around Little Jerusalem, explore Castle Rock. You know, there's the great, you know, Flint Hills Trail, which is a linear trail state park that is, you know, the seventh largest rail trail in the nation. For boaters, you know, all the state parks are great. We see a lot of people going Lake Scott State Park because it's just named one of the prettiest state parks in the state. We see like a lot of kayakers going down there, not necessarily boaters, but you got Milford for the Blue Cats. You know, they're kind of known for that. I mean, it's seriously like pick the region of the state, and there's going to be mostly a few state parks to choose from.
I want to talk a little bit about museums. Now, of course, we're familiar with the ones in Wichita, the Wichita Art Museum, Exploration Place, Historic Cowtown, and Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum is terrific in my book. But there are others. You mentioned one earlier, one of my favorites, the Eisenhower in Abilene. A couple of other good museums that you know of, Colby.
Yeah, so I got to go to actually the new Amelia Earhart Hangar Museum opened in Atchison, and I got to go this past Friday. It is just amazing how interactive it is, the exhibits that you can do. One of my favorites was they have the constellations up on the ceiling, and you can kind of do some interactive stuff with it because at night, that's what Amelia Earhart used to help guide her. So it is awesome. It's phenomenal. You know, obviously Eisenhower, you know, being able to do Boot Hill Museum here in Topeka, you know, having the Brown v. Board Historic Site Museum. I mean, there's just fabulous museums in Kansas, across the state. It's one of those, I love going to museums. It's really important to me. I have some young children to kind of teach them the love of it. So this couple weekends ago, we went to Manhattan and did the Foothills Discovery Center Museum. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, I mean, you could easily book a year's worth of travel just going to all the museums that we have to offer.
Is the Evel Knievel Museum still open in Topeka?
It is, yes, it is still open.
Why?
I know there's been
Why is it there? I know Evel Knievel's probably not from there, but I've heard it's a pretty good museum.
It is. It's a really, really cool museum. You know, how it happened was basically... So the Evel Knievel Museum is at the Historic Harley here in Topeka.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they were part early stages of the restoration of the Evel Knievel's rig that he traveled around in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people kind of got together and so, you know, through people and connections, it got brought to Topeka because of that passion and the love for Evel Knievel, but also just with Historic Harley's ability to restore things. It's a neat story. You can actually read all about it when you walk into the museum. It kind of talks like, why do we have this Evel Knievel Museum? He wasn't from Kansas. You know, he performed here, but there's not too much of a connection. And the connection is the people that care about a story.
Yeah. Hey, Are folks stopping at our casinos in the state?
Oh, for sure. We don't get casino data, but yes, I mean, for sure, they are stopping at the casinos and, you know, spending a few days. And yeah.
Talk about a little bit about music, concerts, music festivals. I'm aware of several music festivals that go on every year.
Yeah, we actually have several, like, really big, you know, music festivals. Some that are surprising, like, is Dance Festopia, which is an electronic dance music festival in Lacine. Symphony in the Flint Hills, which changes its location every year to a different ranch in the Flint Hills. Got the Country Stampede. You have Walnut Valley Festival. I mean, there's tons of festivals, but also there's just tons of live music going on throughout Kansas every single weekend.
And we have breweries and distilleries in Kansas as well, right?
Oh, we do. And, you know, it's definitely on the rise. Last time I checked our website, we had over 80 brewery and distilleries, you know, that you can go to across the state.
Tell me a little, I'm going to interrupt you a little bit, but tell me a little bit about ranch experiences and registered agritourism. I like that.
Yeah. So our agritourism program is when you combine ag experiences with tourism. And so those are also on the rise, you know, being able to go and stay at a ranch. And if you're interested, like learning about how they operate and helping them, but also our registered agritourism. A lot of people think, you know, it's the pumpkin patches and the U-picks and the orchards that you can go to. It's also the wineries. But there's just unique opportunities that you can do. I've done goat yoga at a farm and, you know, made goat soap and had events there. It's just combining that rural aspect with an educational experience to bring people to your farm or your property.
You've done goat yoga? Is that what you said?
Yeah, goat yoga. Basically, you're doing yoga and they have baby goats that are in the room and they're like hopping all over you. And
I was not familiar with goat yoga. How about that? What about, speaking of which, performing arts on stage? What do we do with that in Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great market as well. We have so many across the state. Over 211 listings is what we have on our website for performing arts.
Wow.
And, you know, some in surprisingly small towns, you know, that still have an active theater and sure. performing arts scene. It's awesome. And, you know, there's been some restorations at some recently, and absolutely, it's a big market.
I always talk about it's affordable, more affordable than New York City to live in Kansas. What about the affordability of Kansas tourism? Is it something that people can afford to stop and shop and so forth?
Yeah, we're definitely considered an affordable destination when you look at lodging prices, food prices, attraction prices. And promoting, I'm not saying don't vacation anywhere else, don't travel anywhere else, but, you know, when you travel throughout your home state, that, you know, that meal that you had at that cafe in that small town means a lot more than when you go to New York City and eat at some of those places. Not saying that those owners don't, you know, need it and whatever it may be, or sure. family owned, but, you know, the impact that it has on these local communities is so important.
Well, there's something else to talk about. Restaurants. We have dozens and maybe hundreds and thousands of restaurants, but there are just a handful of that are well-known throughout the country, I think.
Yeah, we do. You know, we have those locations like Bobo's here in Topeka or yeah. Cozy's in Salina. But we also have, you know, for ag country, we're beef country, you know, we have those steakhouses that are known for, you know, some of the best steaks in the nation. I consider Kansas a foodie destination for sure. You talk about Kansas barbecue, or you talk about the fried chicken dynasty that is Southeast Kansas, or some of these farm to table operations, or some of these more high end operations with the chefs that we have. I know a lot of people are surprised. I'm like, Kansas is a foodie destination. It truly is.
I think we ate at Bobo's when we were there for the cheerleaders competition here a couple of months ago. So, yeah. How about that? Listen, hey, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. Tourist season coming up, the summer tourist season, and maybe folks will want to just take a vacation somewhere right here in Kansas. Thank you for being with us. Our guest
is
Colby Sharples-Terry, Communications Manager, Kansas Tourism. A lot of great places to go in Kansas, things to see. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.